This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I am also a boomer, born between the post-war 1946 to 1964. That is the baby boom. I was born in a hospital in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, and in 1948, you were required to spend 2 weeks in the nursery. And so, though I have no clear memory, I've seen plenty of pictures of events similar to what I must have lived through. A vast room of bassinets and newborns being visited by their mothers who were somewhere in this large hospital, Bryn Mawr Hospital. That was the beginning of the baby boom. And the baby boom describes a number of presidents most recently. Barack Obama was a baby boomer. Certainly, I would say Donald Trump was a baby boomer, but he might just be a little too old. I'm not sure. It's a very edgy thing. Joe Biden is not a baby boomer. He is the silent generation, the end of the silent generation, born during the Second War. During the Second War, there was a birth dearth for reasons having to do with men moving around and great anxiety. The baby boom was meant to answer that, except it kept going all the way to 64. And that describes Barack Obama, the end of the baby boom. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, who is a Gen Xer, meaning the next generation. And he writes for American Greatness and also for Human Events. But most recently has a column about my generation, the boomers. And I celebrate his column because I share his opinion about how the boomers have not contributed as much as they might have. I'm being diplomatic. Good evening to you, Thaddeus. The boomers, in particular, are virtue signalers beyond belief. And as I recall, in the 1960s and 70s, when I was in school, we were signaling that we were on the left and that we were against America, against the war, against all decisions made by America in the previous 150 years. Have we changed, Thaddeus? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thanks for having me back, despite the fact I'm an impudent Gen Xer. But looking at your generation, I'd say, no, it really hasn't. And what it's trying to do is basically, the thrust of the article is when people like Speaker Pelosi and others say our democracy, what they're really talking about is our legacy. And you're watching people who are confronted with their own mortality, that are very worried that what they've tried to create, an alternate republic, diversity, inclusion, equity, so forth, is not going to stand the test of time. And so they do everything they can to indoctrinate the next generation. They do everything they can to censor their opposition. They do everything they can to weaponize the government. And it is all not to protect everyone's democracy. It's all there to protect what they believe is their legacy. And I think the best way to describe it is if you remember To His Coy Mistress, where it says, but at my back, I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near. That is kind of where the first wave of the baby boomers are. Again, they're facing their own mortality and they're worried their legacy will not stand the test of time. And they're doing everything they can in their power to either try to cement it or to expand it before the dying of the light.
Were the boomers inevitably going to become the leaders of the purges on campus? Was that always going to happen?
It did not necessarily have to happen, because a lot of my friends are baby boomers who were formerly of the left, and they remember things such as the free speech movement. I think it was it Mario Savio, correct me if I'm wrong, John, who gave a speech?
Yes.
He was a leader of the free speech movement,
Berkeley,
and he talked about
Berkeley University, right. Berkeley.
Yes. And a lot of them cite that, and they say that they were considered themselves, in some extent, very conservative because they were standing up for free speech, which is guaranteed in the First Amendment, and fighting against forces of suppression, censorship, and fascism, which they perceived at the time. And yet what you see is eventually a lot of the people on the old, on the old new left have gone full circle where they are now the censors. Having taken over the college campus once metaphorically and actually now literally, they run these institutions and they suppress forms of free speech that they disagree with. They've created safe zones. They've actually segregated spaces on campuses for people of color so that no whites can intrude. We've seen the rise of anti-Semitism on these campuses that are rampant throughout the United States. So what we're seeing is they've done a complete 180 from where they were back in the early 60s, where they were champions of free speech and arguing against these institutions being more tolerant of their views. Instead, they are now stifling dissent across the board. It's very unfortunate. And to some extent, if you think about it, John, it's kind of like the vast majority of the new old left in the 60s despised Richard Nixon. And yet, if you look at somebody like Hillary Clinton, she's basically become Richard Nixon. And so that which the left denounced, they've become.
The future. The boomers will be with us a long time. I plan to stay with you for a few more years, that is.
Thank you, John.
And the legacy, you're correct, is going to be mixed. Is there can we find something that isn't entirely negative? I'm looking. Can we make a claim that the boomers did the best they could at the time? Is there any excuse that we can find, that is? I'm asking a Gen Xer because I don't want to excuse my own lot.
Well, I would say that it's a great irony at work here, because one of the things that I think that the baby boomer and the silent generation, and even before them, during the 60s, you helped end Jim Crow, you helped end segregation, you made great advancements with the leadership of Dr. King and others on civil rights in the United States. And yet to cling to power to protect their leftist legacy, you see the boomer left denouncing and decrying that progress, claiming it never happened, and saying that America remains systemically racist and evil, which is very strange, because that is one of your obvious achievements that the boomers helped America to accomplish, and yet they continue to denounce it because they believe that if they pretend that there has been progress on racial equality, what they are fearful of, a coalition will start to break up. Without that fear driving minorities to the Democratic Party, to the left, their fear is their coalition will break up, so they cannot even celebrate one of the accomplishments, I think, that is clearly on their ledger.
My youth was pre-digital, pre-internet. As I recall, the way we communicated was very simple-minded compared to today. We would buy rock and roll records, actual platinum, plastic records, vinyl. And play them together, and then we would come to an opinion of a song or lyrics, and it would spread, I don't know, word of mouth, I suppose. We certainly didn't call each other up. We wrote letters. There were some publications that were agreed upon you had to read, like Rolling Stone. That's the 1960s and 1970s. You weren't required to read Time and Newsweek. Certainly in the 70s, the New York Times came to dominate, but that was chiefly because of the Vietnam War. I don't remember reading any other story in the New York Times except for Watergate or the war or what was going on in the war's debate. And then in the 1980s, we hit a bad patch, a big recession that damaged the generation's upward trajectory. And then after that, after Ronald Reagan came in and Volcker cured the inflation, we got really rich. Is that the driver for this? A really rich generation, suddenly too much money and too much time on their hands, and therefore we started dictating how the world should look?
I think for the left, that was always the goal, was to dictate how the world would look. And when you think about the boomer left, a lot of them went into government, which is essentially recession-proof. A lot of them went into academia, which is essentially recession-proof. And also, I would think, far too well remunerated than they deserve within academia. When you look at them, a lot of went into hedge funds who make money off of money. The yuppies were not Generation X. The yuppies were really still baby boomers tail end of that generation.
We were boomers.
So when you look at it, you have, especially when you look at where the left went into basically places where they would be insulated from the economic policies that they espouse. And then when the right actually helped to win the Cold War, the conservatives actually helped to reduce the threat of nuclear war, which could end the world in a minute, all of a sudden you again started to see out of the left a rise of the climate change, the climate cult, the climate apocalypse, all of which at the end is an attack against freedom, is an attack against capitalism, against free markets, that then claims there is no private property, that the world belongs to everybody. And so what you've done is you've taken one threat that was actually real, that was actually dealt with, and then because your economic policies fail, they've then launched into creating another threat, which will then drive people to embrace socialism as a way to save the planet. At the end of the day, it makes it a lot easier for you to espouse policies that don't work if they don't affect you.
That is McOtter, writing an American greatness about a generation that will be with us for a while, the baby boomers. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.